Identifying.
Bomb I want.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to a very special edition of Project Action on Podcast One, collaborating with my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor today. Got a group of epic interviews that I did out at the Polaris Razor UTV World Championship last week. Got the legend Ivan the Iron Man Stewart. We got some Polaris Razor racers. We got my good friend Hubert from Nitro Circus. Just a ton of fun. My good friend Matt Martelli, who's a guest on Project Action in the past, he helped me collaborate to put together this amazing interview with Ivan the Iron Man Stewart, absolute legend. So I think you guys are going to absolutely love that. It's some really, really good stuff, and really looking forward to releasing this, man. It was some stuff we did live out there. You're going to hear some background noise, stuff happening, going on around us. It was a live event interview, and you guys are going to enjoy this if you like all things off-road and dirt. But before we get to those special interviews, I got to tell you about our good friends over there at True Car. And you know what? They've got some useful tips that you might not be aware of. You know, a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car, it'll improve your gas mileage. And you know what? You can place your key fob right to your chin and it'll increase its range. That's weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might also not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, you can see what others paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Mine is crazy long, just about to start every day. Answer some email, pay some bills, drop off dry cleaning, pick up groceries. Well, here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that to-do list. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding thing you do today. And I'm going to reward you guys with some epic stuff here on Project Action here in a second. But I got to ask you guys, if you haven't already, please go to iTunes, subscribe to Project Action on Podcast One from the Polaris Razor Studio. Hit that subscribe button and do the same thing for the Down and Dirty Radio Show, my other show. We bring you all kinds of different content between the two shows. And please subscribe to both shows. And when you do subscribe to both shows, if you get a chance, please leave a rating or review. And if you do leave that rating and or review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram at username in the body of the review, I will follow you back on social media. That's how I know you're listening. That's how I know who you are. It's at username. And if I see that, boom, I will follow you on social media. Sometimes it takes me a week or two. I don't check them every day, but I promise you I will see it eventually. And I promise you, give you a follow, regardless of what your review is. So thank you guys for tuning in. And we've got more from the UTV World Championship, the Polaris Razor UTV World Championship, right here, kicking things off with Ivan, the Iron Man Stewart, along with my good friend Matt Martelli, who tag-teamed the interview with me.
All right, so we got Ivan Stewart on my right. We got Matt Martelli on my left, man. I don't know. I asked Matt to jump in on this because I know you guys have known each other for a long time, and I've interviewed you quite a bit, Ivan, but I think it's special having Matt here because he's got a different type of questions for you. But I know you're one guy that, you know, you've been around this industry forever. You're a legend. You know, you've accomplished everything you can in off-road racing, but you have embraced the UTV movement just like you know, I know Larry Ragland has embraced it. There's quite a few legends, but I know this is something that you know, you've gone in with both feet into this.
Well, I had such a belief in it right when I first realized what, you know, what could be done, and after driving one of the Razors, we even have a store in San Diego now. I have a store in Motorsports Polaris dealer. Yeah, because I just seen it, you know, that everything that we've done over the years in off-road racing, this just made it turnkey. I mean, you know, design, you have to develop, you have to handle things. With your credit card, and now you've got your whole family raising, your wife can drive, your kids can drive. I mean, it's a lot of everything now. I mean, it's just a natural progression from off-road. And now I see all these young kids and families coming out, and I call it getting the kids addicted to off-road.
Yeah.
And off-road racing, that's what we're doing.
Well, I know when I was a kid, too, talking about that, I mean, growing up, and it was even more so, you know, when you and my dad were getting started, there was no gateway as a kid, I mean, a dirt bike maybe, right? But there was no four-wheel, you know, it was trial by fire when you got into a truck of some sort, you know? And now these kids, you can start them out. There's some of these kids that are 12, 10, they're 170 kids, Matt, and I see their skill level, and I wonder at 21, 22, how good they're going to be.
That's a great point, yeah, because they're going to have a tremendous amount of experience. They come out and they learn, but you know, if you think about it, you have to learn the terminology first. You can't go into golfing and not know anything about it without knowing the terminology. You do the same thing with off-roading and off-road racing, the sound, the sight, the terminology. They're way, light years ahead of me.
It's the culture, and that's what's important. I mean, that's, for me personally, that's what's super cool about having been here is, you know, you're largely the reason that me and my brother got into off-road racing, watching you girl through the desert. Wide World of Sports back in the day, we were two little kids from Michigan going, wow, that's a Toyota and that's what it can do, that's incredible, you know. And you know, so to come full circle and be sitting here with you at our event is really special.
Well, it's really fun, and I've been able to do it over many years that I've raced is you get people setting goals and having a dream, and then having a dream come true. It may not be the ultimate dream come true. You start thinking, your brother and yourself is a perfect example. Have a little going to a race. I mentioned earlier talking to some people about just going to a race would be special. Gosh, if I could just ride in one of those race cars. And that's the next goal you make. That's how I did it. I mean, then I got a chance to drive it. I mean, that's, we're just, you know, I like the idea of just, you know, letting people live a dream. That's a fantastic way for me personally to make a living. I'm still making a living there. I'm really fortunate to be where I'm at.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, I mean, you know, we got to talk about this because I know you're here at the UTV World Championship. You're heading down to San Felipe now. I mean, you're still very active in the off-road community. You know, you see a lot of guys retire. I mean, you're retired, but I don't want to say you're retired because I think you're just as busy now as you were before.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah, Toyota keeps you very busy, and Solaris dealer, and GMC tires. That's what I'm out here with us. This particular event, but you know, I go to San Felipe, I have a house down there. You know, and I've got so many people that I know in San Felipe and here that I've known for years that are personal friends now. Guys that I've competed against. Parker Evans and I are, you know, really good friends. I mean, better than when we were competing against each other. I saw Robbie Gordon a little bit ago. I mean, there's some really wonderful people that I've met in the last 40 plus years that I've been involved in this sport. Yeah, so I'm tall special.
What's your, for you personally, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but what's your favorite thing about coming out to these events? You race this track in particular for 40 years, maybe.
Well, I think probably, I don't talk about it a whole lot, but just see the sparkle in people's eyes. I know what it's like the day before the race and the butterflies, you know, and the anticipation, and gosh, I hope I can finish, and maybe I can place, and if I could get on the winner's podium, you know, if I could win. You know, all those emotions from the young people is really special to watch, you know, and the kids. You watch the little kids get in here, 8 or 9, 10 years old, they're not driving the, you know, the razors or what have you, but they're steering and their dads are pushing. You know, they're so excited and so thrilled. That's probably the special. And seeing my old friends that I mentioned before, just always running with somebody I know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got to be really cool for you. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people involved in the culture of off-road racing, but, you know, you were guy. You were the guy that the whole world looked at and went, hey, I want hair like him. I want a smile like him. You know what I mean? I want to be the winner. You were the champion.
You were the guy. You were the guy with, I mean, you had endorsement deals before. Endorsement deals were a thing.
Yeah, I still pull out those Toyota posters for people. I'm like, this is how you market.
You know why that was? And I'll tell you the Reader Digest version. Because I was 30 years old before I got to drive for professional driver. I was 30 years old, which is pretty old. Usually people come in on any kind of water sports, you know, they're in their 18s, 20, whatever, you know. Luke Peralta right there. But at any rate, I had been in construction for years. And I knew when I got an opportunity to be a factory race car driver for Toyota, I wanted to keep it. So I burned marketing. I knew how to comb my hair. I knew how to go to the gym. I knew that I wanted to look the part, be the part, and if I could get my share of win my share of the races, the odds are that I'd probably have a job for a long time. Then I learned the endorsement program and how to fit in the endorsement. You know, product endorsements like that. In that industry, that's a whole different world. In television, public speaking. So yeah, I kind of led the way, because I don't want to go back into construction.
It's a hell of a
motor. Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
I still tell people about the story of me and my brother moving to California. My first job was doing stamped concrete in my uncle's business. Boy, that was backbreaking work. You know, both me and my brother were like, whatever we can do to avoid doing this.
Yeah.
So we've been really.
Yeah, that's what I like to motivate you, because you have the dream. You can do it. You just have to have them. You gotta have some brakes behind you. Hard, you know, it takes hard work too.
Oh yeah, hard work and dedication.
Dedication, but you still have to have the dream to start. The goal. Set the goal. This is be a world champion tomorrow, but set a goal. Little goal. A little, reaching those little goals gives you the confidence to go to the next goal. Gosh, I didn't realize I could actually get a ride for it.
But I got to ask, I mean, there's a lot of, obviously you get a lot of opportunities with Toyota to do things. We've got the Nora 1000 now. I mean, is there an itch anywhere for Ivan to come back and race again? And I don't mean, bring the old trophy truck out and go race in trophy truck, but I mean, just to go and do something for fun, like the Nora 1000 or something like that.
No, a lot of people ask me to do that, but just about my whole career, especially in the last 35 years of Toyota, is that you had to become very professional. You had to take it very seriously. And I don't want to do that. I know it would be fun, but I have other interests right now. I love the sport, and I see people have a great time. I go down and watch an Nora racing. But the drive, I've driven the world's best for a long time.
Let's be serious here. I've seen you drive your Tundra down to Baja. You are still racing.
I get racing once in a while. Especially somebody says they think they can beat me.
Well, let's ask you on the industry side, because Matt and I, we see industry trends and the way, and obviously UTVs are growing really big. But on the trophy truck front, I mean, we're bringing in all-wheel drive systems and things like that. When you were with PPI, I mean, you guys were on the cutting edge of technology, and some of the stuff you developed then is still above and exceeds what we have now. I mean, where do you see this industry? I mean, you're still very, in tap with the industry. I mean, how do you see things turning as far as trophy trucks and things like that?
Well, trophy trucks and the cost and the speeds and everything it takes to run one, I didn't think they would last this long.
We have more of them now than we've ever had.
More than ever. I can't understand it. I think it's great. It's just a very expensive way to go. Not as much fun, but they're exhilarating.
Can you believe we had 7 trophy trucks raced in
it? I bet my life you've never seen that many.
It's crazy.
You guys have to be surprised too, aren't you?
Oh, it's
the cost and the speed.
I was surprised that during the economic depression that we had, that our numbers grew.
I know what I mean.
Every other motorsport struggled. Off-road somehow.
This shows how smart we are.
I can't claim responsibility for that. I think we got to give credit to the builders. Because you get one of those vehicles, and if you have a couple of us, I mean, that's as good as it gets. That's the most incredible machine on the planet. Everybody talks about how cool F1 cars are. I'm like, try and get a bump.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. A1.
Yeah.
But it's funny you mentioned that, and everyone's talking about that. I've been fortunate with this radio show to go to the Indy 500, NHRA races, NASCAR, IMSA. I've been all over the country. And you tell them that you race a trophy truck, and it doesn't matter. It's like immediately, they don't care about talking about the Indy 500. It's like, no, let's talk about off-road a bit. It's them. It's like, it's funny, but, and you were one of the pioneers. You were one of the guys that helped, establish us, internationally, but it's just funny that the respect level of guys that race a trophy truck, all across motorsport, well,
I just came back from Sebring and that topic came up. And, some of the top racers there were like, tell us about Baja, tell us about the men. And it was funny, but they all want to do it. They're just, they're racing their form of racing because that's what pays the business.
You know what it is, too, as I found out over the years, is fascination with us racing across the wilds of Baja, and a cow could walk out for me, a cow, and a horse could come out, movie truck, all these things they've heard of, they're fascinated with that. You know, I think it probably scares them and intimidates them to some degree. But and the wonder of how we could possibly do that day and night. You know, if it's just, I know that's what it is, because that's what drew me into it. For me to offer racing is the fact that what an adventure. I mean, how can I get through my life without doing at least one Baja 500, Baja 1000, because of the adventure, if nothing else. Racing would be secondary. I want to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm really fortunate in the position that I'm in, and I get to have a lot of different opportunities. And one of them came right before the game. I got a phone call from a good friend, Ricky Johnson, who said, hey, I want you to come ride in this truck with me. And I've known Ricky for a long time. Incredible driver, but when I'm riding with him, he wants to show off.
Sure,
right? He wants to make sure that I go out there and I talk about how good he is.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So, but the opportunity was to ride the new four-wheel drive Mason truck, which I couldn't pass up. So I went out and I rode in that truck, and it took me probably 3 days to process what happened in that vehicle. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And
he called me on his way home.
I did.
He called me. And he couldn't even talk.
I was like a little kid. I'm like, hey, Jimmy,
like,
guess
Christmas
what?
Morning.
Guess what? I just got Christmas early. And he's like, what are you talking about, man? But it was truly mind-blowing.
It was really accelerating.
Oh, the acceleration of the quarters was incredible. We did this whole rough section out in Barstow and off the Hodge Road, which if you know that area, it's really deep and nasty. The truck took everything. Incredible balance truck. And then, you know, we got to the end of the rough stuff, and of course, you know, RJ's like, we're not done. So we got on the graded road, and we were doing almost 140 miles an hour, sideways, up over a crest, just like a rally car. It was incredible. Yeah. So as soon as they figure out how to make those trucks live, that's a game changer.
Well, they will. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. You guys had some of that back in your day with a few. What were those trucks back then?
Well, the biggest thing that we had in desert racing and stadium racing, we won a bunch of races because we had the money and the resources for a development program. Most people don't have that money to go out. Most people in off-road racing, you have to agree, 99% of them go out and develop their cars and they test it during the race. They may go out to the desert and do a function test to make sure it shifts, you know, the engine doesn't miss and all that stuff. We go out there and run day and night, 24-hour test or whatever it was, take the thing back apart, parts look good, fresh parts back up. If they were broken, you throw the whole thing away. So having that development program is really what
huge
in. And I didn't realize that. I spent Cranon this last year. I was with Tommy Morris for a couple days. And Tommy...
Yeah, he was right there with me.
Yeah, and Tommy, he... You know, Dad's known him forever, but spend 3 days in a house with him and just get to hear the stories.
Oh,
what
yeah.
happened behind the scenes in the development process, I don't think people realized the level that you guys were at that point. I mean, Ford had their factory programs, Dodge, but I don't think they realized what Toyota, DPI, and Ivan Stewart were doing.
You know how I can prove how well it did? Because when I first started racing with Toyota, they only had four silver motorcycles. You had the big three. And so when Toyota came in, they really, really needed to prove how tough and reliable their trucks were. And that's why they got so dedicated into developing these trucks and spending the amount of resources to make sure that we won. And it works. I mean, now they're Toyota's. You know, it's
absolutely.
And the other thing I can really, really prove is because there was Mazda in production one time, stadium racing. Nissan, a lot of those, it's brand Mitsubishi. He goes on and on and on. Probably five brands that we've never seen them. Toyota was able to stay up with the big thing. So, and that was done through off-roaders.
Yep. I bought the pump.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We had a Union Hall on our street. When we were kids, we'd get $5 on the Union Hall if we could tell them what the cars were. And all those guys would roll out all drunk and flip those cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the idea that you're going to, you know, sell a General Motors Union kit at Toyota, it just proves how powerful the imagery of off-road racing is.
That's exactly right. I mean, that was another thing that I'm really proud of being a part of. Watch Toyota, what they've done. I've been with them 35 years. Pretty good loyalty both ways.
I heard a story. I want to validate it with you. So So I was talking to somebody about wind channeling, and they were describing a vehicle that he built that ended up becoming the Honda Odyssey. And I think the story goes that he built it the way he wanted to. And they came back to him and said, no, it needs to fit the back of the truck. And his pushback to them was, well, this is what the wheel off of the wheelbase is. Well, they weren't having it, so they shortened it up, and that became the Honda Odyssey. You know that story?
Yeah, I do. At that time, I was real busy doing other things, but Lynn was involved in a lot of different programs over the years, the military vehicles, and you know, all the things that he's done. But yeah, I don't know the exact, you're close, I think.
Yeah.
Where they wouldn't let him develop what he wanted to develop, he had to develop something around the package they were looking for.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking for that car, because that car would technically be the first UTV.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I may know where it is. We get together when I get back from Mexico. Give me a call and I'll see if we can find it.
Perfect.
Because Lynn was looking for it at one time, and I happened to be in the gas station. The guy introduced himself to me, and he told me that he had, and I'm not sure it's exactly the same one, but I think it might be.
That'd be
it was the first UTV, it would be.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. It would be really cool to trace back that history.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. Well, there's even things with Polaris that I didn't realize. You know, we have this car called the Star Car. You realize in the 60s, Polaris actually had a Star Car, and it was a kid, and I've got pictures of it. And I haven't shown corporate yet, because most of the guys there don't even know it existed. But it was a kid. You bought a car, and then basically in the summertime, you could take your snowmobile engine out of your snowmobile, put it in this go-kart, and you had a car. It was called the Polaris Star Car.
That's right.
And my friend,
cool to have one.
Yeah, no, and I've been looking for one, like a vintage Star Car. I can't find one anywhere, but I've got all the advertisements for it.
There's one around, or there's probably a bunch of them around somewhere way back.
Yeah.
They don't know what they are.
No, they're always.
So, well, I appreciate you taking the time, Ivan. I know you're headed to San Felipe,
yeah,
correct?
I'm going to go down to San Felipe right now.
Double dipping this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, what keeps you busy when you're not doing all these appearances? I mean, I know you did you did ballroom dancing for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you've
done a bit.
Not only did I do ballroom dancing. No. People think of ballroom dancing. And I even had to compete. But no, I like to be more old car. I got a motorcycle, and I got my house in Mexico. And, you know, Toyota keeps me busy doing these ride and drives. We do a big one Stagecoach every year.
Well, we're going to try and rope you into Legends
Rally. Well, you're a Legends Rally. I tell people, I'll ask you the same thing. If it's going to be fun, I'll do it. It's not going to be fun to Adam.
We were talking before I showed up about Antoine Brown. He's been trying to get Antoine to the desert for a couple of years now, because they do a lot of Toyota stuff together. And so he was excited to answer how far we made it out to the bid.
No, that was really cool. I got a lot of people calling me about that.
Well, you guys know, because if you can get into a race, I don't care who it is, they're competitive. You know, that's what...
It's game over once they get
you. Yeah, once you get them in and let them drive and they get a feel for it, then all you do is say something. Yeah, I don't think you're man enough to do like the Baja 500. Hey, wait a minute, what do you mean? I can't... You'll never be able to drive it solo.
Let's try it. Yeah, it's the rabbit hole for sure. And it never stops.
It doesn't stop. You don't want it to stop.
Yeah, I just actually came back. I went down to check out Dakar in December. And, man, that was so fun. And it was so cool to see off-road racing on a global scale. And the guy who started that race 40 years ago, he actually came and slept on the cell's floor and got the impetus to start his race from going to the Baja 1000.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah, that's how it started. So it was really cool to see. And, you know, again, it's like off-road is a global culture. And the other cool thing down there that's starting to happen is the UTVs. So there are 11 UTVs entered in Dakar this year. I think about half of them finished. And when you look at that terrain and how diverse it is, UTVs are actually a really good platform for that race.
Well, you know, though, it'll grow.
Yeah,
I know it'll grow. I mean, it'd be silly to say, oh, that'll never go anywhere, because it will grow.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a big eye-opener for me, because we get caught in our loop of doing everything that we do. And, you know, I go to the start of this race, and there's 1.2 million people at the start of the race. They've only been racing in South America for 7 years. That shows you how powerful the product off-road racing is. I mean, we were at the start, and I looked at the guy who was from the ASO hosting us, and I looked at him, and I'm like, it's going to take us a day to get out of here. He goes, oh, no, we fly in the helicopter.
Yeah,
right? I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, right.
But it was incredible.
Good stuff. Jim, appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you. It's always fun, Ivan. We need to. Yeah, one of these days I'm going to come out. Maybe we'll grab Matt and we'll come out to maybe your business there in San Diego, and we'll just sit down and record like an hour and a half interview. Just talk about your career and things like that. I think it'd be kind of rad.
Yeah, well, you know what we talked about doing this for years. I don't know if anybody's really done it. But if you got myself and Robbie Gordon and Larry Ragland and Michael Evans and you get Figgy Parnelli, you can start telling stories.
And a bottle of tequila.
And a bottle of tequila.
We ought to do that. We ought to do a round table. Yeah. We'll just mic everybody up and sit there some night, and we'll get like six or eight mics and just.
I think we do that horsepower ranch.
Yes. Yeah, but you know what? You know why it would be so good? Because every time Walker told a story, I'm going to tell a better one. And Parnelli would be the same way. So wait a minute, I can't be beat.
I'll tell you what, I saw Walker at Cranon this year, and I hadn't seen Walker in a long time. And him and Dad, they don't ever see each other. When they do, it's, you know, they're good friends, and they start telling horse stories.
Oh, yeah.
Dad wasn't there, but I saw Walker. Walker recognized me. He came up and. I tell you what, he has a good time. I don't know that he has a good time anywhere he goes, but there's something about Walker at Crandon, and if you haven't seen Walker at Crandon, I don't think you've seen Walker before, because
I was there.
He was. He
handed me a glass, you know, like a 40-ounce tumbler, and half of it was full of whatever whiskey, I believe. I'm not sure, but. After I drank that glass, I don't remember anything else that happened. But I heard we had a really good time.
Yeah, he could. I was in the hospital about 5 or 6 months ago. Him and Phyllis came a couple times to see me. I'll tell you that story later. But see if you guys agree with me. I've always thought that Larkin was probably one of the best off-road racers in the history of the sport.
Absolutely.
But here's the other thing I thought. That he was probably the very best at a place like Riverside World Championships or Cranon.
Definitely.
I thought that's where he really shines. Good in the desert, good in the stadium, really good in the desert, decent in the stadium, but I mean, when you got him on a course like Cranon, one of them long, short places, you know, what you think?
Absolutely.
Riverside, I mean,
I think people forget, too, he got into rock crawling after he quit competitive desert racing.
Yeah, that was his retirement.
Yeah, his retirement plan was rock crawling, and he was highly successful at rock crawling.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Multiple championships.
Yeah. I'm going to go, you guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Ivan.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, man, we'll talk to you. We'll find one of those cars.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
And that's it today on Project Action on Podcast One from the Polaris Razor Studios. It was out there at an event and lots of background noise and stuff. So my apologies, but it was good stuff for those of you who stuck with it, listened through. But thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. Check out the Down and Dirty Radio Show as well as Project Action on iTunes. Subscribe to them both. Make sure and follow me. It's at JimBeaver15 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget to leave those ratings or reviews on iTunes. And we will see you guys next week. And be sure and tune in on Tuesdays to the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. Be safe. As always, game on.